Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, also our Facebook page. And follow us on Twitter at stevejonespsu. You can also email us anytime. Our email address is stevejones@wkok.com. stevejones@wkok.com. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motor Studio as we speak in our Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Got a great summer weekend, the final weekend of June. Got some folks heading over to your place for a barbecue, or you're going somewhere else, stock up. Grab a 6, 12-pack case, whatever you need. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, beers, imports, domestics, soda, water, and of course, snacks, the pickle bar, second to none, that we rave about every single time we talk about Brewers Outlet on the radio. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Of course, we mentioned Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. If you missed any of our shows, you can go to stevejonesshow.com, go to the podcast page, and check out the guests that we've had a chance to have on the show earlier this week, including Dave Spadaro, Philadelphia Eagles football insider. Had some great conversation with Dave earlier this week. And Jerry Dulac, former Penn Stater. This is Mr. Jones. Had them on Wednesday's show. You can recap that anytime by going to our podcast page at stevejonesshow.com.
Mike DeCourcy coming up today.
Yes, fingers are crossed getting in touch with Mike.
He'll be on.
Okay.
Michael, do it. No problem. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, definitely on today. So we'll have that for you. And the draft last night, Howie's Lavelle, who are the winners and losers and the whole thing?
Well, good call.
Of course, we'll find out.
Good call by you right off the jump. You definitely nailed it when we were talking draft on Wednesday regarding Yogi Ferrell of Indiana. Was not called in the two rounds.
But Marcus Paige was. I said he would not get picked, so I was one for two there. Troy Williams didn't get picked. And I explained the long list of NBA shortcomings that he has, and it is a long list. A part of, basketball IQ, plays too fast, not a great outside shot. Those are all detriments. And then Robert Carter was another guy from Maryland where I was completely mystified as to why he entered the NBA draft. I was like, who told him to do that? But he did. Now, he entered the NBA draft, and I had no problem with him entering the NBA draft and getting an evaluation. Everybody should do that. I think you end up being a better player when you have pros tell you this is what you need to work on. What's wrong with that? Taylor Battle, when he was at Penn State, went through the NBA pre-draft camp. He put his name into the NBA draft after his junior year. Now, the evaluation was a little quicker process than it is now. Today's a better process. But in the spring of 2008... In the spring of 2010, Taylor Battle did that. And he went to Chicago. He was in the Bulls camp. He was in the Blazers camp. Oh, and he was in one other. I can't remember what the third one was. But basically, they told him, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you're on track here. Okay. It made him a better player because he knew what he needed to work on. So the pre-draft camp and is great in that regard. But here's the issue moving forward. Jay Billis brought up, and I think it's worthy of discussion, as to whether or not players that are not drafted or are drafted should be allowed to opt to go back to school. Okay. And it's at least worthy of discussion. I think it's worthy of discussion, something with Mike that I'll get into and get his thoughts as to whether he thinks it is realistic or not. Basketball is far more realistic than football is on the college level when it comes to this. The evaluation in basketball is better. There's more time given to it. But it also happens at a time of the year that's great for basketball. And basketball has an early signing period. Because basketball has an early signing period, there's not this pressure of an after-the-season signing period to then make up for guys that you lose. And football is a big problem because the timetable of football includes the signing period the first Wednesday in February, 3 weeks before the NFL Combine. In basketball, you have the early signing period. So and the vast majority of schools take advantage of the early signing period. There are certainly some players here and there that sign in the late signing period, no question. In fact, Duke got a five-star player who waited until the late signing period to sign. And, of course, the late signing period is now used as a transfer. You've had 2,200 players transfer in the last 3 years in men's college basketball. You don't have the transfer epidemic in college football. But at the same time, when the bowl games are over, you have a short window to announce whether or not you're entering the NFL draft. And once you enter, there's no turning back. In the NBA, you can opt to enter, not hire an agent, go through the process, then make a decision one way or the other, pro, con, as to whether or not I should go to school or I should continue on with the draft idea. Melo Trimble, for example, went through all this. And for the second straight year, no agent, went back to Maryland. Conversely, Diamond Stone hired an agent right away, got in, ended up being an early second-round pick. Okay. But in college football, once you declare and you put the paperwork in and the deadline, which is, the Friday after the national championship game, once that happens, you're done. You are now fully committed and have only one path, and that's to go to the NFL. So you go out to Arizona, California, Florida. You go through your workouts to get yourself ready for combines. You go to the combine. Your agent's in touch with teams. You do individual workouts. You have pro day at school. And then draft day comes, and some of you make it, some of you don't. The number of underclassmen who went undrafted this year for the NFL was at an all-time high. Now let's take it to last night. Robert Carter of Maryland, not selected. Troy Williams of Indiana, not selected. Now, Yogi Ferrell is not in that category. He was a senior, so he's done. His college eligibility clock was up. But there's a list of another long list of guys who opted for the NBA draft that were not picked. I think the number of underclassmen was up over 100 that announced they were going for the NBA draft. Okay, that's all well and good until you start doing the math and realizing there are only 60 spots. And seniors like Buddy Hield and Denzel Valentine are going to get picked. Freshmen like Ben Simmons and Scott Labissiere are going to get picked. And foreign players are going to be selected. So now you're having spots taken up in the draft that doesn't help underclassmen. And that's, I mean, the math doesn't work. The math does not work. And that's a big part of this. And that's why, for example, Jay Billis has brought up draft and stash for college players. All right, worthy of at least some discussion. Or the ability of, I haven't been drafted, I'd like to go back to school. Worthy of discussion. Not sure how we're going to fall on that yet, but they're worthy of discussion.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK as we roll through this Friday afternoon, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports domestic microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And, of course, soda, wine coolers, water, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and out every day. And that pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrel pickles. Love the dills over at Brewers Outlet. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up in the next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, 406 Mike DeCourcy will join us. Mike and I go back, maybe more than 30 years now. Feel like every time I say that about one of our guests, I should apologize to them.
Well, that's been my fault. I'm the one's doing all the bookings.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to force you to do this.
I'm not trying to make you feel old either.
Oh, no. I don't feel old.
Good.
No,
I'm glad.
Far from that. No. I don't feel old at all. No, that is 180 of that. Now, there's some mornings when I wake up and I'm like, oh. But for the most part, I'd say 90% of the day, I'm like, I don't feel I don't feel old in the least.
No, when we do the lineup and thinking, I wasn't sure going through your mind, boy, we're going to make another trip down memory lane here today.
No, but these are all people I really respect. I think they do great jobs. I mean, and I think experience means something. And Mike's been around the block a lot, so let's talk to him about the draft, about some of the issues with college players and where they need to think about going. And not, you know, and what rules need to be changed, or are the rules on the right path? I mean, you want to talk to somebody who's been around the block, has a little semblance of history as to what they've done and what they haven't done. So we'll have Mike on talk about that.
I was getting into a weekly habit as well. You know, with the weekends ending Sunday nights, I tune in to catch the Basketball and Beyond show on a Big Ten Network, and Mike would always do a great job there in studio with Rever. Yeah.
Oh, I'm. Yeah, they're a good combination. But Mike's covered this for a long time. Mike covered Penn State football, did a great job with it for years when he was at the Post-Gazette. And, yeah. So we'll talk to him about that. The Sixers, drafting Simmons. You know, was the only move you could make. And then Brandon Ingram was the obvious number two. And you could see what the Celtics did with Jaylen Brown. That, you know, after that, it became a mishmash. But the number of underclassmen that declared, you know, it's only a 60-player draft. I mean, that's all it is. And when it's only a 60-player draft, what are you supposed to do? And, I mean, there was a record. I mean, there was a record that declared for the 2016 draft. 29 of the 59 underclassmen declared for the draft heard their name called Thursday night, slightly above the yearly average of 28.6. In the pool left undrafted included Tony Anderson of Southeast Missouri State, Derek Jones of UNLV, Zach McLaughlin, Gadsden State Community College. Those are some of the guys, for example, I mean, younger players that declared for the 2016 draft. There's only 60 spots. What do you think? All 60 are going to get picked? But I will say this, and I think Dan Gavitt's exactly right. The new draft deadline was a success. I think it weeded out and players went back to school because they had a better evaluation. And I think it can only benefit college football to somehow figure out a calendar and a clock that gives them a better evaluation. 117 players opted for the NBA draft. 58 of the 117 after the process returned to school. Okay. Now, there'll be some that say, for example, let's take Troy Williams, Robert Carter. And since they're Big Ten players, that's why I bring up their names. Look, they made their decision. That's it. Okay. That certainly is an opinion that's worth talking about. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Great to have you with us.
Mark Turbotville, taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, waters, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register as you exit. And the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. Tell them Sean Carey sent you.
By the way, there's something new coming soon to Brewer's Outlet you'll be hearing in the weeks ahead.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'll tell you about it off air. I'll give you the inside scoop here in a little bit.
I like that.
You will. Right. No, you'll love it.
Well, I'm in. I don't even know about it. I'm in. All right. This day in sports history, then Tony DeFazio, Mike DeCourcy next half hour. And this day in sports history, John J. McDermott became the first American-born winner of the U.S. Open in 1911. U.S. Open Golf Championship. 1922, the American Professional Football Association decided to change its name to the National Football League. 1968, Jim Northrop, fine center fielder for the Detroit Tigers, tied a major league record when he hit two grand slams in one game. 1971, the NBA modified its four-year eligibility rule to allow for college hardship cases. Really? 1979, this guy was a great hitter, Bob Watson, Houston Astros, hit for the cycle against the Giants. Then he became the first player to hit for the cycle in both leagues when he did for the Red Sox. That was there against the Toronto Blue Jays. 1980, the Atlanta Flames moved to Calgary and became the Calgary Flames. There are certain nicknames that to this day don't make any sense. The Utah Jazz. That's because they started as the New Orleans Jazz. The Atlanta Flames. Gone with the Wind, Burning of Atlanta, becoming the Calgary Flames, and we're just not going to change the name. That's this day in sports history. Let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. By the way, former Nittany Lion Brandon Johnson, I was at his pro day, because, you know, there was pro day for everybody. And the and he was outstanding. Well, he signed today with the Steelers. Sean Sweason was released. And let's bring in Tony. Tony, what were your thoughts? We'll start with Sweason as to what you thought there.
Well, I mean, I think it's a physical thing at this point. I mean, it was designation of a failed physical. They said he had a setback in his recovery from last year's knee injury. And probably, if all things were equal in camp, you know, Sweason was going to be out of a job. He makes significantly more money, and I think that was going to be his biggest issue. Probably not ideal for the Steelers though, because I think they would have liked to have seen a competition here, and I'm sure they'll bring another leg in. There's an answer that I think was on a lot of people's minds. That has already crossed off at this point. And it's a shame because Sean Sweason did nothing to lose his job. He was very, very quality kicker for the Steelers. And in fact, it looked like his injury was perhaps going to cost the Steelers a playoff spot early in the season. They could not recover from that. They went through about three guys. And then someone comes in and settles things down. But it's a shame, and hopefully you see the guy get healthy, because he'd been a borderline NFL kicker before that, before really – coming into his own in Pittsburgh.
Then Brandon Johnson signs. This league, you know, regardless of your depth of knowledge of watching him, the league's always looking for guys who are athletes that can do multiple things. This guy fits the bill. I mean, Brandon Johnson is an athlete.
You know, Mike Tomlin, in fact, he says it so often, some of the media and fans tend to make fun of him, but, you know, position flexible is something he probably says four or five times, especially before the season starts. They talk about that, and you know, especially during the draft and during, you know, during this period of time, you know, how certain guys are establishing themselves and setting themselves up. So, yeah, you know, it's all, plus it's always good to see, you know, you always like those kinds of stories where a guy just works his butt off and eventually gets a chance, and that's exactly what we've got with Johnson here. So we'll see, you know, how long he can make this dream into a reality. You know, Terrence Garvin, a linebacker from West Virginia, got a job out of a tryout a couple of years ago. So, you know, those tryouts are tough, Steve. That's a lot of times you're just a body being thrown out there. And if you can survive, you know, that grueling weekend and show some other things as well, you know, it's worth it. So he'll get a little bit of a payday and, even better than that, a chance to make an NFL roster.
Exactly. I mean, gets that shot to do that. The Pirates. This is kind of spiraling a bit. I don't think there's any question about that. When you look at them, what on the spacecraft is still good, and then what are some parts that are just not functioning right now?
Well, there's no question that it's spiraling. It was starting to spiral before the injuries, and then it became a full-fledged, you know, waterfall, quite frankly. The Cole, Cervelli, and Marte injuries back-to-back-to-back. And you can throw Chris Stewart in there as well. You know, you don't like to think that when you lose a 230 light-hitting catcher, it's going to hurt you, but it does, and it has, you know, if those injuries go deep enough. To get to what's still working, you know, their approach at the plate, for the most part, is still what they want. They're still getting on base. The lack of power, which we knew was going to be an issue, is even more of an issue when the pitching has been so bad. And I think the easy answer as far as what's not working, you know, the pitching has taken a huge turn for the worse. I mean, really, the only guy, Gerrit Cole, was pitching well. You know, Mark Melancon is pitching well. There's been a couple of middle relief guys that have done adequate jobs, but when everything else around them is starting to really, really plummet, you know, listen, there was a 10-game stretch last week, Steve, where they gave up 82 runs over a 10-game stretch. In fact, the 7-6 loss, where they had a 6-1 win, was an above average performance during that stretch by the pitching staff. So that's how bad things are. I think the two guys that you can circle right now who are probably the most frustrating and maybe the most head scratching, one is a pitcher, and that's Francisco Liriano. He's been here before in this position. He looks like the guy they acquired 4 years ago, where he'll have great stuff, you know, three innings out of four or four innings out of five, but then get peppered that other inning. And I think the biggest head-scratcher, though, is the fact that Andrew McCutchen has been the weakest offensive link in their lineup, and that is, that it, you know, we're almost into July now. It's no longer a slump. The 2016 Andrew McCutchen is who he is at this point.
Obviously, the All-Star game is coming up, and it's done by ballot. And you always have teams say, hey, vote for all our guys, vote for all our guys. I guess the Pirates have sent out emails to fans to vote for McCutchen. And he's not the only one they've sent out emails to vote for, but he's one of them. Why? I mean, to me, that's insulting to the intelligence of a fan base.
To me, it's insulting to Andrew McCutchen as well. Andrew McCutchen knows he's not having an All-Star year. You know, McCutchen would be the first guy to say, you know, this is ridiculous. I've got, you know, I look to my left, I look to my right. Those are two guys who deserve to be in the All-Star
exactly.
game, you know, instead of me, Gregory Polanco and Starling Marte. So I don't know why the Pirates, you know, for a long time, Steve, up until the last couple of years, had made every wrong decision when it came to the fans. And they finally started to learn that when you win, you know, you don't have to overthink it too hard. You know, you just let the fans be fans. They're going to boo a bad performance. But, you know, overall, and listen, the fans, you know, they have a four-game series here against the Giants, and the fans showed up. The fans, the ballpark was full.
You know,
this is a team, like we said, that is spiraling. So you're right. I think that is an insult to the fans. They don't need to be told to vote for their guys. They, you know, they'll do that. They voted Jack Wilson into an All-Star game several years ago. These are fans that sometimes it can be tough for the Pirates fans, but they've been loyal. They don't need coaching. They don't need to have their hand held. And I agree with you. I think it is insulting. And again, like I said, I think it's insulting to McCutchen and to the players around him. I just think that's all in all a bad move.
You mentioned that they've had a tendency to make some not so common sense moves when it comes to the fans over the years. Was that in part, do you think, because when they went through the 20 years of losing, they were just trying to grasp at whatever straw they could? I mean,
You know, some of those decisions, I'm having trouble coming up with some specific examples, but
right. But I think
there were just. At some point it becomes difficult to blame, you know, these guys that are working in the promotions and the marketing department. You know, at some point you got to have something to work with here, you know, and when you haven't, you know, when you're losing 98 games and averaging 95 losses a season for almost, you know, I think the last 10 years of that stretch, they did average 95 losses. That's just brutal. I think they were grasping at straws. But again, this is not a situation where they need to feel desperate. You know, this is not their year right now. They also ran into some injury problems. If they can come out of this thing after they get healthy within shouting distance of that final playoff spot, and right now they're six back, it's somewhat salvageable. And what the heck, if they have a season where they finish 500 or a little bit under, you know, and they still keep the ship on course, the grand scheme of things, that isn't really a big deal. And I think most fans understand that. But the thing I think that the team is so defensive about is the very thing the fans get so upset about. Every single thing they do is perceived to have something to do with the finances. For the most part, that's true. I think the Pirates are very, very wary of that and of being perceived by the fans to be a cheap team. Not every move has to do with finances, but a lot does. And the fans think every time they lose three in a row, well, it's because they're not spending money. And we're seeing that in a big way right now.
Yeah, and that's. But again, the point you make, I think, is a really good one, and that is they're six games back, and because there is a second wild card, that keeps the door open to them to get everybody healthy and then hit a stretch where they can hit the accelerator and put themselves right back in the thick of things. It's going to take something to do it, but I think one of the areas they're going to have to shore up is they're going to have to shore up the middle part of that bullpen, which for 3 years has been a plus, and right now is an absolute negative.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think the biggest thing is that they have been able to depend on that bullpen. It used to be, the Thursday game against San Francisco is a really good example. There was never a whole lot of panic in the sixth inning when the Pirates were trailing 4-3 or 5-3 before, because you knew that 4 or 5 was probably going to stand. The other team was not going to add on, you know, once you got to the bullpen. And basically, Clint Hurdle was able to take the approach against most teams: we're going to knock your starter out, and because our bullpen's better than yours, we're going to win the game. And that's obviously simplifying things a bit, but that approach is no longer working right now. In fact, that approach is about as bad as it could be for the Pirates, because they cannot hold any leads, you know, when they get them, and the starting pitching has not been good. I mean, John Neese has been a solid fifth starter, but like everybody said in the offseason, he needs to be their number three. He's not performed as a number three. Liriano's not performed. Jameson Taillon right now has been their most consistent pitcher over the past 2 weeks. He's got 3 major league starts.
Any word on what they think about Glasnow?
You know, I really, at this point, it's not a money decision with him.
Right.
He's passed the Super 2 deadline.
That's right.
He's walking, he's averaging 5 walks a game, and I think that is the biggest issue right now. 5 walks a start.
That's bad.
And, you know, he's 6'8", he's very lanky. His catcher, Jacob Stallings, who's now playing with the Pirates right now, but his AAA catcher, Jacob Stallings, says there are so, and it's a good point, he's 6'8", he's 22, there are so many moving parts to his windup that sometimes it's hard for him to keep everything in sync, and that is a problem with his command. He's getting away with, you know, putting the leadoff guy and the second guy up on base at AAA. You don't get away with that kind of stuff in the major league. So I think he'll be up before long. I don't think they want to throw him into a situation where he's asked to be the savior of the rotation.
Right.
That's not a good spot for a 22-year-old to be in. And it wouldn't surprise me, and Clint Hurdle's mentioned this, if he pitches out of the bullpen when he first comes up to the major leagues to take a little bit of the pressure off.
Yeah. Tony, appreciate it. Thanks for taking us off mute.
Not a problem. Happy to finally figure it out.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We will come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Summer 2016 is officially here, and Sunbury Motors Kia is making it worry-free.
We want to see you in Kia.
drive a brand new Kia this summer, worry-free, with no payments due until November. It's the Summers on Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Now that summer is officially here, buy a new in-stock 2016 Optima, Optima Hybrid, Forte, and Soul, and pay nothing for the summer. With Kia taking care of your first two payments and 90 days deferred payments, you get up to 5 months before your first payment is due. That's November. And with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, we're talking a worry-free ride with no payments to make. And you also get 0% financing for up to 66 months. Summer's officially here, but the Summers on Us sales event will only be around until the July 4th holiday. So you have to hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Tax extra. 0% APR financing to all qualified customers through KMS. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Great to have you with us on this Friday. Mike DeCourcy joining us in the next half hour. And talk to Mike about basketball, about the NBA draft, about Jay Billis saying, hey, look, they need to maybe change a couple things. He said that the NCAA needs to wake up. Let the players come back after the draft. Let NBA teams draft and stash in college. It's done in other sports. Of course, the NCAA rules right now in basketball is that a player who declares for the draft forfeits all remaining years of eligibility. Now, again, you can go into the draft in baseball, and if you opt not to sign, you can go back. The Phillies right now have a pitcher, Mark Appel, who was the ninth overall pick in the draft a couple of years ago by the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he opted, instead of signing with the Pirates, to go back to Stanford. He then re-entered the draft the next year and was the first overall pick by the Astros. Signed, got into their system, and got going. Then, of course, he was part of one of the trades. He's part of the with Ken Giles trade, and now he's with the Phillies. But he's a guy who was drafted by the Pirates ninth overall, opted not to sign, went back for another year, and then was the first overall pick in the draft by the Astros. So that's a basketball rule. So it's this NCAA rule that players who declare for the draft forfeit all remaining years of eligibility is specific to basketball. So that's the situation, and that's something I think it's worthy of discussion. I want to get Mike's opinion on that as to how he feels about it, because there are different rules for different sports. There's obviously, because of the time frame, a longer evaluation period in which players can pull their names out of draft consideration. 117 underclassmen declared for the draft. 59 of them opted to not go, and they went back to their schools, a guy like Melo Trimble, for example. And then, of those that remained in, 29 of them ended up getting selected. The other 28 or so did not get picked. So that's worthy of discussion, something I'll talk about with Mike in the next half hour. You know, like a perfect example. I mentioned the two guys already from the Big Ten, Robert Carter from Maryland, who had transferred from Georgia Tech in. He only played a year at Maryland. He played at Georgia Tech before that. And the other guy is Troy Williams, who decided after 3 years to leave Indiana. And a lot of people thought he'd be drafted in the upper 40s, early 50s in the draft, and was not selected at all. Was not selected at all. So what becomes of him? Well, obviously he'll get himself into the summer league. He'll get himself into an NBA camp somehow as a free agent. The door is open to maybe going to Europe. The door is open going to the D League. So it's not a complete disaster. You know, a high school player can opt to go to the D League. They just can't be drafted until they're 19 years of age and they're eligibility is through their first year of college. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soda, plenty of soft drinks. Snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Mike DeCourcy on the NBA draft next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.